Chapter 12 of Tunnels and Pitch. James lost all sense of time in the tunnel. The hard clay and rock walls were rough against his hands, and there were no distinguishing features on the walls except that they were sloped downward. Without a watch and without the sun, he had no way to know how long they had been crawling beneath the earth. But the disappearance of the vibrations from the battle waging above, and the ache in his back and the rawness of his knees and feet, told him that it had been a while. "At least we don't have to make this journey in the dark," he thought. The light that protruded from P's torch intrigued James. It shimmered like a round point, white and constant, and it blinded him when he looked into it. P had multiple talents. James had seen the little kind perform a number of different kinds of magic, while Triska and Nub seemed exclusively focused on the healing arts. James knew that his magic was physical, devoted to the exertion of physical force. He had come to terms with the limitations of magic, including his own. This meant he needed the sword in his hand as much as the strength of magic in his fingertips. Even the most powerful users had a peak they could not surpass. That was a comforting thought, because even Luthien would have limits, and limits meant that one had weaknesses and could be defeated. James focused on the path ahead again, minding his steps. A short distance ahead, the light from P's torch revealed the dip in the tunnel, and when the three of them stopped at the edge, they witnessed the steep angle downward, peering into the black with amused expressions. The dirt at the edge slipped away, the pebbles pattering as they were swallowed by the tunnel. A slick, smoothed-out clay ran the length of the visible incline. P whistled, the sound echoing back on itself until the tunnel filled with dissonant warbles. "I'd say I'm surprised by this glorious turn of events, but I'm not a friend of lies." Darl grunted.
"How far is it to the bottom?"
James smiled faintly, glad to hear the same old Darl grumbling in the tunnel. "A good 500 feet, I'd wager." P shifted his weight, testing the edge with his toes. More pebbles fell and gave their final calls. "But climbing down will be difficult at best."
"Leave that to me. I can dig footholds on the way down with a knife."
P nodded absently. Then, grinning, he said, "Mind you don't fall." Darl glared, shoving past P and snatching the torch from the little kind's hand.
"Mind you don't grow any taller."
P dropped his jaw at the insult, narrowing his eyes and gritting his teeth beneath his beard. Then Darl slipped over the edge and began his descent, a black knife in his hand. He worked small rivets in the wall with his feet and dug deeper moon-shaped grooves with the knife. The clay fell behind him in crumbled blobs, echoing down the tunnel. When at least a man's length was between Darl and the edge, James followed. The footholds were not as useful as he had hoped. He could fit his feet and hands in them. The clay crumbled beneath the pressure of his feet, or his fingers slipped ever so slightly so that he had to constantly readjust his hands to keep from falling. P, on the other hand, had no trouble whatsoever. His tiny hands and feet fit perfectly into the grooves, and his weight prevented the grooves from crumbling further. Down and down they went, Darl breaking and digging new grooves with the torch between his teeth, James doing his best to cling to the incline, and P humming to himself. James guessed they had gone a good 200 feet before his arms and legs began to protest. He grimaced, the sting from his wounds re-emerging as his muscles strained to keep his body from failing. Somehow he knew those wounds would never heal properly. He might be cursed with the scars and occasional pain for the rest of his life. But he was alive. Death was something he was happy to deny Luthien. It was in this growing tiredness that his fingers and toes lost their strength. His grip slipped, broke, or failed him with each step he took. He leaned into the earth and held fast, his fingers growing numb and unresponsive the longer he tried to clutch the clay incline. "I can't go any further," he said, gasping. "My arms can't take it." Darl looked up.
"Nonsense. Move."
He panted and took another step, but collapsed a moment later.
"I can't. It's too far."
"How convenient of you to find weakness when neither of us can help."
Darl growled and spat on the clay in front of him.
"Move, boy."
"I'll fall."
"Then you die. 100 feet until you hit flat ground. Then all the sacrifices given to you will be without value. Would you like that, boy?"
He shook his head.
"Then you will move."
James took a few more steps. He pushed himself harder and harder, and down they went again. Darl grumbled, and James pushed back the painful tears welling up in his eyes, flexing his hands one at a time to work strength back into the joints. His thoughts wandered to the people dying many hundreds of feet above, and to his parents. He prayed once more that they were safe and that some misfortune had not befallen them at the hands of the council. Such worries permeated his mind. The furrow quivered amiably. Then everything failed him. He lost his grip, his left hand slipping on the clay as his left foot crushed the edge of a groove and came free. He tumbled backwards, caught himself against the roof, and lost what little remained of his footing and fell. Screaming, he dropped hard on Darl's head. The old man, by some manner of amazing luck, held tight to the clay. James tumbled over the man's shoulder, slamming against the ceiling, and fell again. Darl snagged him by his tunic, held him for a moment that seemed like forever, and, as if in slow motion, lost his grip. James cried out with his last breath, realizing that nobody could save him now. He fell and fell and fell, sliding off the roof one moment and the floor the next. The sack on his back cushioned his fall. Then he landed hard on the slick clay incline, which rose slightly to greet him, and hydroplaned through the tunnel. Desperate, he reached for something to slow his fall, but he could find nothing except the fear now swallowing him like the dark. The tunnel disappeared beneath him, and he thought he would tumble back into it soon enough. When he didn't slam back into the clay, he knew he had left the tunnel for an open space. Then something broke his fall. He struck the mass hard, writhing in pain from the impact. But he was alive, and he could feel his limbs and the throbbing in his muscles. Cold enveloped him. He opened his eyes into the dark, pitch-black recesses of a nothingness he couldn't comprehend. When he tried to breathe, his lungs filled with the same cold nothingness. There was no air, only cold and darkness. Hey, everybody. So, apologies for the lateness of this one. I had intended to have this on Thursday or Friday at the latest, but I've been kind of trying to fight off a cold, and I was really concerned that if I recorded while I was having this sort of cold thing, that it would really basically sap all of my voice. And in fact, I think you can still kind of hear that I'm a little bit sick. So hopefully that doesn't damage the quality too much, but I realized that this cold was not going to hit me as quick as I thought it would, so I thought I'd get this episode in as quick as possible. It's a good thing because it's a short episode, which means you don't have to deal with too many issues with me getting sick. But in any case, I do hope you like this episode. It's a short episode, and the next episode will be a much longer one, as per usual, and hopefully that'll be a really, really big episode, because something really awesome happens in it, which I'm not going to say what it is. Very, very cool Conan the Barbarian-ish, I think, maybe? Maybe not quite, but certainly 80s fantasy. It's going to be fun. So, anyway, I would appreciate if everybody would please spread the word about this project. I'm only $324, at least at the recording of this, into my funding, and I really would like to hit that $1,000 mark before basically the end of the month. So if you would spread the word and help me support this project, I really appreciate it. Donate whatever you can. A dollar is fine. Just anything would work. You can easily do that. You can just go to the blog, wisb.blogspot.com. There's a little chip-in thing on the side. There are also links if you look around. There's the donation tier. You can see what you get, you know, for free if you donate. At $10, you get the free ebook. $25, you get some other nifty stuff, etc., etc., etc. Even all the way up to you can actually get me to write a character based on you into the world, which is fun. So there's that. Or if you just want to send it straight to my email, just straight to my PayPal through my email, that is arconna@yahoo.com. That's the way you can just send it straight to PayPal. That's also the way you can get in contact with me. So if you'd like to let me know what you think, feel free to do that. Also leave reviews on iTunes. I would really appreciate that too. Okay, I'm going to shut up now because I've almost talked as much as the episode. So I'll be back with the next episode soon. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it.